Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Now, you and I, you said it, and I agree with you, that when this documentary began, that you believed it was going to make more Michael Jordan fans. Obviously, the older generation, us, even those above us, knew what Jordan had done, and most of us viewed him as the GOAT. But you thought, and again, I agree with you, that the younger generation, the millennials, the ones who think it's LeBron or Kobe or someone else is the GOAT, that they will see Michael Jordan in all his basketball glory and that they will be won over. Some of them, a good number of them will be won over.
Yep.
And Rob, there's a poll that ESPN did.
Let me say this before you get to the poll.
That backs that up. Okay.
And I'm going to say this, Chris. The reason that I thought that was because it's a difference between watching old games on YouTube and having a context to it. And that's why I thought once people watch the journey, see it wasn't that glorified in the beginning, you know, it wasn't like he was anointed before right. he won anything. It just wasn't that way.
Which the young people probably thought that.
Right. I really believe that. Oh, Jordan was the GOAT from day one. Yep. No, he was not. His first rookie All-Star game, he had 8 points. Didn't even get the ball that much. People weren't, like, crowning him. The Pistons and Knicks, they worked him over like a burger and fries. Chris, the media, you didn't have social media, but the media killed him early on. They killed Michael.
The Come Fly With Me videos.
Yes.
He had the Jordan sneakers. He had been anointed in terms of the endorsements.
Yes,
in popular culture, but he wasn't winning. And the real basketball folks were like, "Yo, Magic and Bird win. They're not doing all these videos, but they win." You know, and that was the difference. You're right.
So it wasn't social media, but the media. And you even saw, I think, after his dad died and the stuff that was out there, people didn't have kid gloves. There were reporters out there from all kinds of outlets, Chris, doing investigative journalism, trying to find stuff. Stuff was being published in Chicago, books. Outside of Chicago, books, everything. Yep. It was all eyes on Michael Jordan then. So that's why I really believe once you put it in context and you really see this guy's journey, see what he was able to overcome and the obstacles in his way, that people would have an appreciation for him and realize, Chris, what we both knew as guys who have covered basketball and love basketball, we already knew, but I really had that feeling that this would change people. And then I will admit, not as much as I thought it would when the poll came out and I saw it. I was shocked by the poll.
Well, I think the thing is we don't know what the numbers were before the documentary. So we don't know how much it turned, but I was surprised, as you were, that he was so dominant
every
in
category.
The younger group. Now, here's the basically what the gist of the poll was. ESPN has 17 categories in which they compared LeBron and Michael Jordan. And Jordan swept all 17. All 17 categories, fans said Jordan was the winner. Jordan
was that's my
the pick. Yeah, best player overall, Jordan. NBA they even said the NBA was better all around back then than now. I mean, and then, you know, who would win one-on-one? I mean, it was a number of them, even just sneakers. Better sneakers for fashion, better sneakers to play in. And then here's the thing, they had 600 voters or respondents, and it was evenly split in age groups. So you had an 18 to 34
smart.
Group, right?
That was smart,
and then
Chris.
A 35 and older. The 35 and older, not surprisingly, Jordan won 79% of the votes. But in the younger group, 18 to 34, he still won 66%.
That's an incredible number.
Yeah, it is. That's two out of every three.
That's two out of three. That's an incredible number. And those are the younger people who didn't see him play, basically, right?
Let me say this about the poll. And then I want to say something else about LeBron that may have hurt him. Look, as you know, Rob, and everybody that listens to the show knows, I believe Jordan's the GOAT. I was actually debating Nick Wright on that this today on First Things First this morning.
Nick wrong, of course. He was wrong right. on this one.
I'll put him in his place. But anyway, this poll, though, as much as Jordan is the GOAT, it was like they asked the question, who's the better passer? And Jordan won 59%. They asked who you trust to pass you the ball, and Jordan won 57%. Rob, there's no way Jordan's a better passer than LeBron. And there's certainly no way you're gonna trust him to pass you the ball more than LeBron James, who loves to pass the ball.
Yeah, but they saw Jordan pass the ball in clutch moments too, situations. So I think that's
Do the people know anything? I mean, are they basing it solely on The Last Dance?
No, I'm just
saying. Because I imagine he has some knowledge of basketball.
Right.
And, these guys' careers.
I agree. But I think the freshness of him passing to Steve Kerr, like just the strength of it, Chris. When you see the video and he tells Steve Kerr, it's one thing to tell a story, a fish story, how big it was, right, that
right.
you caught. But to watch it and to him sitting there going, "It's all right, I'm coming to you. Be ready." Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
like he knew it. It wasn't like Mike was scared to shoot the last shot or was putting it off on somebody else. He set it up. He knew it
right.
was coming. That to me is different from, okay, I have the ball, the clock is ticking down, and I'm going to play hot potato and pass it because I don't want to be the GOAT. You know, or and I mean GOAT as in missing
right.
it. Right? I mean, it means Mike was all right, was a star, but he understood that he wanted to win and Steve Kerr was going to be wide open, which he was.
Well, that's part of the mythology that needs to be corrected, that Jordan took every last shot. He didn't. You know, I mean, we John Paxson, who, you know, won this finals game for him and series clinching jump shot in the first three-peat. Jordan really wasn't even involved in that play other than to get the inbounds pass. And, you know, obviously, the 55-point, the double nickel in Madison Square Garden 5 games after he comes back from baseball. He passed the game winner off to Bill Winnington for an easy layup or dunk, whatever it was, under the basket. But that's so you're right in that Jordan was a very good passer. He's not a better passer than LeBron, but he was a good passer. 1 year, he averaged 8 assists. A game, and so he could pass the basketball.
I'll tell you the other one that was just surprising, just based off of his size, that they picked Michael to beat LeBron in a one-on-one game. I was surprised at that one. That one and maybe the passing one, but those are the only two that I would have thought. And I'm talking about LeBron size-wise, Chris, not skill-wise.
Right.
But maybe that they would have picked LeBron. But to be totally
yeah, with his
whitewashed,
size, it would have been tough.
Right? I'm just saying.
It'd be interesting. I think people that would vote Jordan are totally going on Jordan's killer instinct. Yeah. You know, he would have found a way. But you're right. With LeBron's size, that would have made it interesting. Here's another one, though, Rob. And this one, I think, was I'm going to be honest. I bet you this one was largely broke down across the races. Positive impact off the court, 62% for Jordan. I would believe the majority of African Americans voted for LeBron in that one. I mean, Jordan did a lot, obviously. I mean, unless people are looking at it like, oh, he built the game of basketball into a world game and took it global, and he's an African American owner, and, you know, he had the great image, be like Mike and all that. But let's keep it real. LeBron James has done far more as players off the court than Jordan. There's no, and I mean, again, maybe whites may have looked at it differently.
I don't.
You know, and I can't imagine blacks put Jordan over LeBron, most of them.
I don't know. You know what? Is it during his playing time or entire career? Because Jordan didn't do stuff, Chris, where he opened up the medical center in Charlotte. He gave money for the for both sides, like the police and the I hear what you're saying, and LeBron has done a lot, obviously, with his I Promise School.
LeBron's done more. Rob, LeBron hasn't done more?
I don't know. And make, here's my other thing. Is it fresh, the China thing, fresh for people?
No. Most Americans didn't care about that.
But I'm saying it wasn't close, though. Why do you think it's not close, though?
Well, look, again, as much as I agree with the poll in that Jordan is the GOAT, I think this cheapens the poll a bit. It makes it seem like what are people doing? This almost makes it look like the college poll, the college, you know, tournament they had when Shaq beats Kareem. Didn't Jordan win that? It probably speaks to Rob. I think Jordan won that, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that poll
there's no
was
way
ridiculous.
He was the
right.
greatest college player.
Not even close.
Right. This speaks to the myth of Michael Jordan. And again, I'm with you. He's the GOAT. But, Rob, some of these are just, it could have been 12-5 or 13-4.
So why do you think they abandoned LeBron in this case? The younger
I
people.
I think LeBron not the, is not far the, more. Well, I, okay. I
I'm
think
asking you
things.
About the younger yeah. people abandoning him. I think
he's far more polarizing. But two, and this is what I was going to get to earlier, Rob, and this is maybe, I don't know this for a fact. I believe perhaps the fact that you, like you said it in the beginning, we saw Jordan's battle, right? He goes to this horrible team. He's got teammates who are doing drugs, you know. I mean, the GM doesn't want him to play because they might make the play. Like, he's fighting every which way. He's got obstacles coming his way, right? And he keeps losing to the Detroit Pistons, who are trying to beat him up. And he sticks there. He stays and ultimately overcomes.
And he was there 7 years, just yes. like LeBron was in Cleveland.
Getting killed.
Yes.
Getting criticized. And I think people may, again, maybe, hold it that against LeBron that, wow, Jordan was in a similar situation. And he
didn't
stuck
bail.
It out.
And
right.
he didn't bail.
And I've never held it against LeBron. I do think he sold himself short because I think he could have
won there. I believe
right.
that, too. I've always said that. That he could have stayed there. Eventually, he was that good, Chris,
yep.
that he was going to win. And
yep.
he panicked. He panicked.
Yep.
And he could have stayed there. I'm telling you, if LeBron would have stayed in Cleveland and won and was 3-0 in championships, doing what he did in that organization, that town, Chris, it would be a different – with his other numbers, it'd be a different conversation.
No question.
I really believe that.
Right.
I really
and
believe
I, and
that.
And I do think maybe that's something – because you spelled it out early. You said, look, he went through all these obstacles. He stuck it out. It wasn't easy. And I think maybe people look at LeBron bailed. And, you know, it worked out and he got his rings. But, you know, the Cleveland ring means more, right, than the Miami rings, as good as those were. And people may look at it like, well, Jordan stayed in the same place, built that place into a dynasty. So I think that may be a factor, Rob. And I think millennials – maybe looked at that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get to another thing that came out last night, Rob, is that Michael Jordan was upset that the Bulls were broken up after their sixth championship in 8 years. Here's what he said about wanting to stick around and go for number 7.
In 98, Krause already said at the beginning of the season, Phil can go 82-0. And he was never going to be the coach. So when Phil said it was the last dance, it was the last dance. We knew they weren't going to keep the team. Now, they could have nixed all of it at the beginning of 98. Why say that statement at the beginning of 98? If you ask all the guys who won in 98, Steve Kerr, Jeff Busler, blah, blah, blah. We give you 1 year contract to try for 7. You think they would have signed? Yes, they would have signed. Would I sign for 1 year? Yes, I would have signed for 1 year. I've been signing 1 year contracts up to that. With Phil done it? Yes. Now, Pip, you would have had to do some convincing, but if Phil was going to be there, if Dennis was going to be there, if MJ was going to be there to win our seventh, Pip is not going to miss out on that.
All right, Rob, what do you think? Jordan making some... Let me say this first. Okay, go ahead.
No way, no how. Mike has revisionist history, and it's easy to say that after the fact when you got a pot belly and you got a lot of money and you own a team, and you could sit there and say, oh, yeah, I would have signed a one-year deal, and so would have all these other guys. We just had Chris Mannix on, and I think his point was well taken about what was at stake for the other guys who all finally got paid and got money. This isn't 2020 where scrubs are making $20 million, Chris. People didn't make the kind of money that they make now. And the other part is I think it's so hard to win. And even Michael, even before that, kept talking about how tired he was and how worn out he was. And now all of a sudden, you know, 20 years later, he's talking about, oh, yeah, I was ready. I would have been ready for another year, another one. I don't believe that they would have automatically won again, and I don't think guys would have joined in. Michael had the sneaker deal. Michael had off-the-court money. Michael had, yes, he could have signed a one-year deal. He could have done it. I don't think the other guys could have done it.
Well, I remember that was the lockout season. You remember that, and I was covering that lockout for the New York Times. Jordan wasn't sure of what he was going to do. You know, just during the lockout, remember, he played an instrumental role in that lockout. And there was always in the negotiations this question of, was Jordan going to play again? And so I think Jerry Reinsdorf goes to Phil Jackson and says, we want you to come back, but we're going to rebuild. To me, that's, for lack of a better term, disingenuous. Of course Phil Jackson didn't want to rebuild after winning 6 championships. And of course Michael Jordan didn't want to rebuild. Here's the deal, Rob. And you always say this, and I agree with this point you make. You're talking about billionaire owners, okay? Scottie Pippen, I believe, got a 5-year, $67 million deal with Houston. It was a sign and trade, okay? So Chicago signed and traded him. They could have signed Pippen to a large 1-year deal. Jordan had been doing 1-year deals. Remember, he got $30 million in 97 and $33 million in 97, 98, that last year. So they could have done something similar for Pippen. They had his bird rights. He could have got, you know, $20 million or something like that. Now, that's not $67 million. So we're talking, again, billionaire owners. And Jerry Reinsdorf, if he wanted to, could have given Pippen a long-term deal. Pippen was 31 years old. He's going to turn 32 in September of that year. And the next year, he played all 50 games. It was a lockout season. He averaged 40 minutes a game, all 50 games. The next year, he played all 82. That's when after that, he played 64, 62, 64. So that's my point is this, Rob. The acrimony that made Pippen want to go wasn't necessary. They could have taken care of Pippen earlier. They could have, you know, told him, look, they could have taken care of him at that point. He didn't have to be upset if they had been managed correctly. And if you had, I think what they would have had to do is you got Phil back, you got Mike back because Phil's there. If they take care of Pippen, which they should have, he helped you get 6 titles, for goodness sake. You know, and he's 31 years old. He's not 40. He's not 35. And then the guy you probably would have had to replace was Dennis Rodman. They could lose Luke Longley and freaking Steve Kerr. They could find a shooter like Kerr close enough. They always did. B.J. Armstrong, John Paxton, Craig Hodges. Steve Kerr is not unique. They could have got one of them. And Luke Longley, again, Bill Winnington, Will Perdue, Bill Cartwright, Stacey King, Bison Daley. I mean, my goodness, 7-foot guys that are good for a bunch of fouls can be found anywhere. So I'm not worried about them. Go get your money, Luke and Steve. Fine. We could get those. Rodman would have been the guy. And the question is this. Could Phil and Mike have controlled Rodman for one more year? Because his career was basically over. He goes to L.A. the next year, plays 23 games, and then I think Dallas the year after that plays 12. But how much of that was physical and how much of it was mental? Chicago, he had acted up in San Antonio before getting to Chicago. But Chicago, they were able to control it. I'm not sure they could have because obviously he was, you know, acting up in the last year in Chicago, you know, going to wrestle and going to Vegas and all that stuff. So maybe
during the finals.
Right.
I think that's a pipe dream.
Right. Okay. So I probably would have gone with you on that. If I was, you know, in position running the Bulls, I probably would have said, you know what? We got to let Dennis go. We got three straight. He's acting up. We got the most out of him that we can. But instead of Jerry Krause putting all his energy into doing the three signing trades for Pippen, Longley, and Kerr, how about putting your energy into making a deal that gets you a replacement for Dennis Rodman? He's not going to be as good as Rodman. But go get me somebody that can rebound, that's tough, and then bring me some shoes. Like, I just think, yeah, it would have been tough to do. And like I said, I'm wanting for things to work out. And Reinsdorf could have done it. He's a billionaire. But they didn't want to. This is the question, though, Rob. For argument's sake, let's say they could have come back. Do you think they could have gotten to the finals and beaten the San Antonio Spurs of David Robinson and Tim Duncan?
No.
You don't think they were good anymore?
No, I just think that even – and they won. I'm not saying that they didn't win. It wasn't easy. There was a hard-fought battles in that series, and they were able to win that series against Utah. But I think that things do come to an end, and they were fortunate. Most of the times when dynasties or whatever happened, you know, it's like everything falls apart, it collapses.
Right.
And they were fortunate to just go out and go out on top. Not very often do people get to do that. And I just think that that championship run had run its course. That was a lot trying to get out of it. The Rodman thing is a perfect example, Chris, where – you know, here he is during the finals, sneaking off to good, not coming to practice. It's the finals. I get it. They offered you $250,000. Kind of tells you about the money as well, that he would take the $20,000 fine to make $230,000, right? Like, okay.
Right.
If you were a basketball player and you were serious about what you were doing, and you know, can we reschedule that for a couple days is all I'm saying.
You're talking about Dennis Rodman.
Right. I know.
You think Rodman has ever uttered the words, "Can we reschedule that?"
Yeah, no, you're right. But my point is, I just think it's revisionist history to think that I could hear him saying he would like to go, but I don't think they would win again. I don't believe that they would win again.
I think, and again, I'm talking about a nucleus of Jackson, Jordan, and Pippen, and then, you know, put stuff around them. I think they could have beaten that Spurs team. Cause look, remember who got to the finals in the East, Rob? It was the Knicks of Latrell Sprewell, Allen Houston, Marcus Camby. I mean, they were an eighth seed. They weren't world beaters. So it was a shortened season.
They beat the one seed.
Yeah, the Pacers.
Miami.
But that Miami team was, you know, all those teams were pretty good. Indiana, the Knicks beat Indiana too. And, you know, and so I think the Bulls team with Jordan and Pippen would have been better than that Knicks team. And then you get to the finals. David Robinson, he wasn't the MVP David Robinson anymore. He averaged fewer than 16 points a game that season. So he was not the same. Duncan obviously was Duncan, a young Duncan, but he was the man. Robinson was fading. And then you had Avery Johnson, Jaren Jackson, and Sean Elliott on the perimeter. I mean, I do think the Bulls, it would have been tough to bring them back, but I think they could have won that championship. And here's what I say, whether they could have or not, I believe, Rob, there's one of two ways for dynasties to end. or they should end this way. Either you get beat on the court or on the field, or your some key member of your nucleus, and I'm talking about like the first best player, really, or maybe the second, walks away because of age. Like Kareem. When Kareem retired from Showtime, he was 42 years old. It was age he had to go. That's how I think it should end. I just think it's a shame. It'd be one thing if Jordan was like, I don't want to play anymore. But I think it's a shame for infighting and politics in the front office. And let's keep it real. Jerry Reinsdorf is ultimately to blame because he's the owner and calls the shots.
But the only thing is, and I think that's a shame. I don't think anybody believes that they got cheated by that Bulls dynasty. I think that they
I agree with that.
Would you like nobody goes, oh man, that was terrible.
I mean,
it was premature. Nobody got cheated. I think people look at that and marvel at it.
I think Jordan feels like he was cheated. Jordan feels like it. He said last night though, he still can't get over it.
He can't get over anything, though. He can't get over the guy who beat him out in high school and on his high school team. He can't get over his high school coach. He can't get over the pizza guy in Utah. He can't get over anything. He can't get over Isaiah Thomas.
That's what drove him, Rob. That's what drove him to be
the
GOAT.
Come on, man, dude.
Enjoy your life a little bit. Here's the thing, Rob. He still had basketball left in him. You know this because 3 years later he came back and was actually good. He wasn't great.
But he was a legitimate all-star.
Was he still not the best player in the world?
But he couldn't get those guys to where they couldn't even make the playoffs where 16 of the 30 teams made
that,
the playoffs.
I know, but that was 3 years later. I'm talking about how good he was. I'm talking about had he come back in 98-99, the year he retired, he was still the best player in the world. How does that make sense? I'm running an organization. We got the best coach in the world. We got the best player in the world. We didn't even go seven. We went six games in the final. I mean, all this, they got pushed to the rink. They were up 3-1.
But wait a minute. But the same argument you're making, that would be the argument on how come LeBron hasn't won if he's the best player in the world with what he's had around him. He wasn't able to win. I'm just saying it ain't that automatic.
Of course it's not automatic. But why break it up?
And other teams were getting better. I know why they didn't want it. Chris, they were making money. That building was sold out for the next 3 years probably. And they didn't want to pay. They wanted to start over. And they wanted to not pay. I mean, that's the reason that they really didn't want it.
I agree, and I don't think that's a good reason, though.
No, but it was a financial thing. They were like,
we can sell out
this building for the next people still going to come. They got season tickets. We'll make money. We got a lower payroll, and we don't have to deal with all that. I agree with that.
I just think that's a shameful way for a dynasty to end. Let them get beat. Jordan said it at the beginning of the series. Remember, I guess it was after their fifth ring, I believe, when he said, we should have the right to defend what we've built. Remember that? And he said, the Cubs been rebuilding for 42 years, which is actually longer, much longer than that. But that was a great line.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We start off the show talking about this ESPN poll where they had 17 different categories comparing Michael Jordan and LeBron James, and they polled people from ages 18 on up, 18 to 35 and then 35 and above, or I think maybe it was 35 to 54. But anyway, Jordan won in all 17 categories, even amongst the young folk, the millennials. And you and I both believe that the documentary did influence some of the younger people to start thinking that Jordan is the GOAT over LeBron. One guy it didn't influence was a former LeBron teammate, Channing Frye. And here's what he had to say.
I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't a Jordan fan. I'm from Phoenix. I'm a Barkley guy. I'm a Kevin Johnson guy. I'm a Thunder Dan guy. So as much as everyone's shocked, I never had Jordan on my top player of all time anyways. Tim Duncan. I had Kobe. I have LeBron above Michael all the time. He only had really one job, and that was to just score. And he did that at an amazing, amazing rate. But I don't feel like his way of winning then would translate to what it is now. Guys wouldn't want to play with him.
Rob, I'm going to let you have your first shot.
Is this Channing French Fry? Hello? He's in too much Crisco oil right now, Chris, because I don't get what he's talking about. I get it. You play with LeBron. Okay. You can respect. You can admire him. I get it. How in the world could you say that? I just don't even know on what basis that a guy who pushes you to get the best out of you, who competes, who never cheats anybody, Chris, puts it all out on the floor. That's what a teammate is supposed to be, right? And you got a chance to win every year? Hello, where do I sign up? And then the guy you're talking about, LeBron, and defending, and I get it. You're friends. Can we give you LeBron's history? Kyrie won a championship with LeBron. Won it out. You had a chance to get Kawhi Leonard, which would have made his life a lot easier in L.A. He would have got to play in his hometown, L.A., with LeBron, with Anthony Davis. Probably could have missed as many games as he wanted to the next 3 years, Chris, and probably would have won three championships in a row, right?
Probably. You're right. If they had gotten Kawhi, they probably would have. Yep.
All right? He wanted no part of it. And it's the same thing Paul George, who had two chances to play with LeBron, same kind of thing, and didn't take either opportunity. So before you go out and run out and talk about nobody would want to play with George, I totally disagree. I think that this is one of those where you can praise LeBron and you can say what a great teammate he was and do all that. But to go out there publicly and say that, like, there was something wrong with playing with Michael, and didn't you watch it? Steve Kerr talked about it. Not only did him and Michael get into a little fisticuffs, but he also wound up believing in Steve Kerr and passing him the ball in big moments. I just, Chris is so off base. I don't get the allegiance to be that much to be anti-Jordan. You could say I'd much rather play with LeBron and give his reasons why, but to say nobody would want to play with Jordan, I disagree.
Yeah, I agree with you. I disagree with Channing. And it's just bad history, number one. To say that all Jordan did was score is ludicrous. All right, obviously he was the best scorer we've ever seen. He led the league in scoring essentially 10 straight years. You know, 10 straight years when he was healthy and played full seasons. And Rob, Michael Jordan had seven seasons, if you round up, you know, which we're taught to do, seven seasons where he averaged 6 assists a game. For his career, he averaged 5.3. Now, I've only looked at a few guys, but that's better than Manu Ginobili. Manu Ginobili averaged 3.8 assists for his career. Tracy McGrady, who's viewed as an all-around player, he averaged 4.4 assists for his career. You think Channing Frye would ever say about Tracy McGrady or Manu Ginobili, all they had to do was score?
No, just ridiculous.
And yet Jordan averaged more assists than him. And Rob, of course, you know this, he was a 9-time all-defensive player.
Hello.
He's playing
not one,
the
not
floor.
Two,
right.
Not three, 9 times.
Stop it, Channing. Stop it. I mean, it's just, look, and I've said this, you don't have to tear down one of the guys to build up another.
That's what I just, am I right? That's what I said.
Yep.
If you want to praise LeBron as a teammate, Chris, do it. But to say nobody would want to play with Jordan when the exact opposite, if anything, LeBron has been turned down more than anybody. Nobody wanted to come to Cleveland, right? So he went to Miami.
Right.
I mean, those are facts.
That's
am I making
why,
it up? Am
no,
I making it up?
I mean, you're stronger on the nobody wants to play with him. I obviously think more players want to play with him than you do. But there's no doubt guys have turned him down. There's no question about that. And I think, and one of the reasons, Rob, I think maybe the Bulls could have come back and won seven is because I do think had they been able to offer some, you know, some minimum deals, some vets in search of a ring would have gone to play with Michael Jordan, you know, to replace Kerr and Longley and guys like that. So, but yeah, to say nobody would have wanted to play with Jordan is just, that's just off. So what I want to do, Rob, and you and I both think that Jordan's the GOAT. I want to present, let's present why. And then I want to hear from LeBron fans. And we both, look, we both give LeBron major respect. He's the, we second on both of our lists. So we're not dissing him.
And we don't agree on a lot of stuff. So for us to be on the same page.
Exactly. So I'm going to share why Jordan is the GOAT. And we want to hear from callers, mainly guys that think LeBron's the GOAT. We want to hear your answer, your argument. I'm going to say, try to say it quickly, Rob. First of all, Jordan had no weaknesses. None. Like he could pass. He could defend. He could shoot. He could drive. Three-pointers, obviously he didn't shoot a lot of them, but it wasn't a weakness at that time. And even if you want to just go off the percentage, he shot the same percentage, 32.7. Kobe was 32.9. Do we ever look at Kobe and say three-pointers were a weakness? No. So at the very least, it wasn't a weakness. If you want to say it wasn't a strength, okay. It wasn't a weakness. Jordan didn't have any. LeBron, as great as he is, has some weaknesses, most notably the free throw shooting. That's a weakness. And he's not terrible, but he's not really good at it either. And it can become an issue.
And it seems like during crunch time too. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you really need to knock him down.
Yeah, I don't know if he's missed more during crunch. I mean, he's just not, you know, he's 73% base or 74% for his career. It's okay, you know, but it can become a weakness. He doesn't move well without the basketball. That can make it tougher to play with other stars because he has to have the ball in his hands all the time. And then I think he doesn't really have a go-to shot. You know, that you know, at the end of games, it's either to the basket all the way or the long three. So I think those are minor weaknesses in LeBron's game. I think Jordan doesn't have any. I also think that the longevity argument, which is a strength for LeBron typically in his argument against Jordan, the thing is you got to start winning. You got to win more. Like, because at some point that longevity could become a negative. Jordan won 6 rings in 15 years. He was hurt for one of those years, essentially the whole year. And one, he only played 18 games because of baseball. If you take those out, that's 6-13. If you take out the old man years in Washington, that's 6-11. Yep, well, either way you want to measure it, it's 6-11 or 6-15. LeBron's got 3-16. If LeBron has 2 more great seasons, which he's fully capable of, but does it win rings? You're talking about, Rob, 3-19 years.
That is not impressive.
Magic won 5-12, essentially. Bird won 3-13. Like, if you don't win more, the longevity could work against you. Finally, I'll say this, Rob, the super team. A lot of people say LeBron's in the super team era, and that's why he hadn't won more, because he's faced super teams. Yeah, but he also was on super teams. That's the thing. Like, Miami was the super team, and they only won 2 out of 4. And the Cleveland, him, Kyrie, and Kevin Love, that's a super team. Kyrie's clearly a Hall of Famer. Love was putting up numbers, Rob. We
big numbers
since
before
the ABA-NBA merger.
Before he got there, he was putting up nothing but numbers.
So those are some things where I just think Jordan's ahead of him. That's all there is to it.
When I look at it, it's very clear. And LeBron has all these numbers and stats, Chris, you cannot deny. And he could pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I get all that. But when you're looking at, when we talk about being the GOAT, we always look at, we're going to nitpick and look at everything. And the one thing that you can't nitpick with Michael Jordan is he didn't just win. He led the league in scoring 10 times. He was a defensive player of the year, a defensive first team. What, 9 years was the number?
Well, he was all defense nine times.
All defense nine times. So when you look at that, he did a lot of stuff, but he also won. That's the other part. It wasn't like one or the other. He did everything. So when I look at it, the winning to me matters because I think ultimately that's why you play. So yes, right. you can win MVPs. You could do all this other stuff, but ultimately, did you win when it was all said and done? And he checks all those boxes, and he wasn't on the bandwagon, and somebody else was leading the way, and Scottie Pippen won 2 Finals MVPs. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't do that. You can't tag Jordan for that. That would, to me, if he won 6 championships and Scottie won 3 MVPs, we got a different conversation, don't we, Chris?
Yeah, it's certainly opening it up to other people to beat him, compete with him. Yeah, no question.
That's what I'm saying. But here it is, it's open and shut. So when I look at everything and I nitpick through everything, it's hard for me to look at Michael Jordan and go, somebody was better than him, especially not LeBron, who, yes, got to the finals a lot but didn't win enough. And you're right, the super team building that and not really being special. They should have won at least 3 in a row, Chris. They would have put themselves in a special class,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
With a handful of guys who had done it. They couldn't even do that with a stacked team. And then you can't argue that, well, it's not fair because the Warriors are stacked. No, you started Facebook. I mean, you started MySpace, and the Warriors started Facebook, right? But you started it.
Yeah.
So you can't be mad at it after the fact.